So last week, Pastor Steve reminded us that our Christian walk is all about Jesus. And at the very end of his sermon, he said that we are in this together, a partnership in the gospel. Today we will look at the end of Philippians chapter 1 and the idea of steadfastness and unity as we go about living and sharing the gospel together. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time here together this morning. Be with us now as we turn to your word. Help us to be attentive to what you have to say to us this morning about walking worthy of the gospel of Christ in steadfastness and unity. In Jesus' name, amen. So our passage today begins with Paul's encouragement, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Whatever happens. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little bit ominous to me, kind of like the lead into a scary story or a mystery. Whatever happens. This is the point where we think, well, that means nothing good. When you read Paul's letters, you'll see he makes this type of comment often regarding whatever circumstances or situations you might find yourself in. So now here he is saying, whatever happens, good, bad, surprising, exciting, frightening, boring, happy or sad, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The phrase conduct yourselves is actually a rather political word, and you can see it on the blue sheet in the notes. And it means live as citizens. Paul is really good about using examples of things that the people he's writing to can understand or relate to. And here he uses the idea of citizenship, which for those living in a Roman colony is very relatable. Citizenship was a big deal. So what does it mean to live as a citizen? What makes a good citizen? For the Romans, it meant privilege. It meant protection, rights, and certain responsibilities. I went online and I found a list that someone had put together, I think maybe for a classroom. It's got some kids sitting at a table here. And it's a list of 10 things you can do right now to be a better citizen. Volunteer to be active in your community. Be honest and trustworthy. Follow rules and laws. Respect the rights of others. Be informed about the world around you. Respect the property of others. Be compassionate. Take responsibility for your actions. Be a good neighbor and protect the environment. These all make sense, right? It's a pretty good list. I might have a few things I'd change or add to it. You might have a few things that you would add to it. But what is Paul pointing to in this comment that he makes? Live as a citizen worthy of the gospel of Christ. Later in Philippians chapter 3, Paul points out that we are citizens of heaven. So how does one behave as a citizen of heaven? Turns out, Paul writes something similar to the Colossians, and he expands on this idea a little bit more in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. In that passage, we read that living a life worthy and pleasing to the Lord involves bearing good fruit. We've heard that before. It involves growing in the knowledge of God, pleasing or being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, for we have an inheritance in the kingdom of light. Jesus himself gives us another example in Luke chapter 4. Here Jesus has entered the synagogue on the day of the Sabbath in Nazareth. He stands up to read from a scroll, the very same passage in Isaiah that we heard read for us a few moments ago. When he's finished reading, he sits down and he says to those listening, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He has come to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for those in bondage to sin, to help the blind see and understand, to free the oppressed, to tell how much God loves his children. He came to share the good news, to rebuild, restore, and renew the devastated, to make disciples who will make more disciples. And in John 14:12, Jesus tells his disciples that those who believe in him will do the same things he has done and more. This is how we behave as citizens of heaven. The rest of verse 27 and into verse 28 also gives us another clue as to how to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Here is the call to steadfastness, standing firm in our faith, and unity, striving together as one against opposition. This is where we must work together, encouraging each other in the faith, moving forward as a team in Christ Jesus. And who is our opposition? Well, it can be man, unbelievers who persecute those who follow Jesus. Remember Paul? In his own past, he persecuted Christians before he became one. And it can also be spiritual forces. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 that our main struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In fact, quite often we believe it's other people, when in reality, it's those spiritual forces at play influencing situations. In verse 28, Paul tells his readers to stand firm without being frightened in any way. You might be thinking, yeah, right? Here we are talking about persecution and evil spiritual forces, and we're not supposed to be afraid? But Paul finishes his instruction with a reminder that Jesus has already secured the victory. Paul says that if we stand firm, united in our faith, our lack of fear will be a sign to the opposition that they will be destroyed and we will be saved. It's a done deal. If this seems daunting, though, there is something else we can do that will help us to stand firm. In Ephesians chapter 6 again, Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, so that we can take our stands against the schemes of the devil. Here again, Paul uses something familiar for illustration. The Romans certainly understood what the soldier's armor was all about. And also the idea that they often work together in a unit, united in battle against their foes. They would at times stand side by side with their shields lifted, creating a wall, and then move forward as that unit, protecting each other and fighting together. As we put on the pieces of our armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And as we come together as a body of Christ, a team, a unit of soldiers for the kingdom of God, we must encourage and strengthen and pray for each other as we strive together against our opposition. It's important to note that Paul closes that passage on the armor of God, encouraging people to pray for each other. This is vital. In verses 29 and 30 in Philippians, we read that it has been granted to you to suffer and struggle for Christ, just as Paul has done. Paul's in prison because he's been preaching the gospel message and someone took offense to it. His privileges have been removed. His freedom as a Roman citizen is gone, yet his courage, his steadfast faith is still intact. Why? Because of God's grace. The promise of salvation, remember? The suffering, the persecution is momentary. The salvation is eternal. Our citizenship is in heaven. We all face hardships. We all struggle. We all feel like giving up at times or giving in to the opposition. But remember what James said about facing trials. In James 1, 2 to 4, he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And when we feel weak, we can rely on God's strength to get us through. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, "That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Because he is relying on God for his strength. And he knows that he has other believers praying for him and carrying on the ministry of the gospel. Take a moment and look back to a time when you struggled facing a trial or perhaps even persecution for your faith. What did you learn in that time? Who stood with you? And who gave you encouragement? And where did you find strength? Last summer on a short-term mission trip, God provided me an opportunity to share what it looks like to walk worthy of the gospel, to show love and grace to someone who was an outcast as far as the rest of the people in our English Bible class were concerned. I'd been warned that a certain young man might show up and that he had issues with schizophrenia. And though he was not homeless, he was rather a mess. I was also warned that the people in the class might not react well to his being there. Our lessons part of that week were centered around loving like Jesus does. Remember those things that Jesus said he came to do in his ministry through the Isaiah passage? Freedom for the oppressed and sight to the blind. Well, on the second day, this young man came into class and he sat on the far side of the room, away from everyone so that he could see and hear but not offend anyone with his presence. I decided to give something a try that day. Well, I'll be honest, it was because the Holy Spirit was giving me a big shove in the middle of my back. I put a chair next to mine at the end of the table and I invited him to come over and sit with us and be part of the group. He hesitated, but after I kept asking, "Come on, come on," he finally came over and he sat next to me. But he didn't meet the eyes of anyone in the group. And believe me, they didn't look really all that happy to have him that close either. He was dirty and he smelled bad. But as we began our discussion, he jumped in at one point and he talked for quite some time. I let him talk. And I responded to his questions, but I could tell that the others were not all that happy with his taking over the conversation. I let it go on until finally one of them spoke up and gave him a word of advice. And this seemed like a good moment to kind of pull things back on track, and so I did. I continued to address him and answer questions and include him in the class and made sure to invite him back for the next day. So the next afternoon, one of the women in the class came up to me before class started and pulled me aside. And I'd like to read to you what I wrote in my journal about what she said that day. She talked about a discussion the ladies had on their way home last night. They all walked home together. We were talking about how Jesus loves everyone and commands us to do the same. And they had talked about this young man coming to class and how at first they weren't very happy about it. But that as the class went on, they realized Jesus loves him too. And so should they, even if he is different. I'm so proud of them. When he came today, they were kind and encouraging. I'm telling you, this was a joy to hear that day. That young man was there the rest of the week, and he even brought a snack to share on the very last day. So how do we walk worthy of the gospel? We live it out, loving like Jesus does and helping each other do it too. Together, we can stand firm, steadfast in the one Spirit, striving together, united as one for the faith of the gospel. We have the grace of God, the assurance of victory over opposition, and the confidence of our salvation with eternal citizenship in heaven. As Luke wrote, stand firm, and you will win life. Amen.